Hello and welcome to the second Manx Footy pod of the 25-26 season, brought to you in association with Jerry McGinn, Painter and Decorators. Making up the podcast back three this week is the Charles to my Eddie, Disco Dave Norton.
Hi everyone.
You alright Dave? Good week?
Not too bad mate, yeah, it's been a bit of a busy week in Manx football.
It's been very busy, but we'll talk about that later. We don't want to give away too much too early, do we? Finally, there's no show without Punch, refreshed after a 2 week staycation. It's Tom Curfey.
Hello.
How are you?
Good to be back. I'm fantastic. I feel refreshed.
Do you?
Not awful. After the week of my bond.
It was, you know, you've come back and Manx football's literally...
It's chaos, yeah. It's like it couldn't have happened in them 2 weeks when I was off, could it? It had to happen. As soon as I'm back, it had to be. There's so much to discuss, but it's kind of a good thing that a podcast has fallen this week, isn't it?
Yes, lots to discuss, as you say. But we must start on a sombre note this week. And the weekend following our last podcast, Peel combination skipper Kian Broadhead sadly lost his life in a car crash. Tributes have flooded in from clubs across the island, and it's been heartening to see the Manx football community band together at such a tough time. Before we go any further, I just want to, I'm sure I say for all three of us, you know, thoughts are with Kian's family at this difficult time. Tom, you've played against Kian on many occasions because he was obviously the second string skipper for Peel. Yeah. I think I played against him last year.
You did. Well done, yeah. He's a proper captain, wasn't he? That's how I'd describe Kian. He was I played against him loads, and there'll be so many people across the footballing community that probably speak a lot. They know him a lot better than I do. So I'm not sitting here assuming that I know everything about Kian or anything like that. But all I can go off is what I saw of him, and he was a fantastic Peel captain. One of them that he embodied the club almost. Like every time he pulled up the shirt on, I think he was Mr. Peel, as they call him. And that phrase gets thrown around quite a lot. Famously, people call me Mr. Moran. Yeah. Not true. Dave Brew is the only one. But I think that gets thrown around a lot, where Kian was Mr. Peel. Like you'd see him in the Peel pubs later on. He'd talk to you about the combi, talk to you about the first team. He cared so much for that club. And since the sad news that he's passed, I think it sums up how much he was loved. When not just with Peel Football Club, every club's come together, and people who've played against him, with him, or even half knew of him have come together and said what a great lad he was. So I think it's been really nice to see in such an awful time, hasn't it?
Yeah. Before we go into the Peel tribute, I just want to say one of the nicest things I saw was actually just after his death was announced, St Mary's, Alex Harrison, the current manager, put a lovely comment saying that they played Peel in pre-season. And St Mary's ended up down to 9 men for injuries and various reasons. And Kian just pulled on a shirt and so that St Mary's had, you know, at least had 10 on the park. And I thought that shows you what sort of a man he was.
Exactly. That sums him up perfectly. A proper good guy. And he'll be missed in the footballing community and also just the community in general. The whole of Peel, I think, are still good about it. And his funeral's obviously coming up, and that'll be a really emotional day. Really emotional. And hopefully he gets the send-off that he definitely deserves.
Right, the Peel first team returned to action following Kian's sad passing against Braddon last Saturday and held a tribute to him before kick-off. Here's the words of club chairman Sean Dickinson.
Today we meet to remember Kian Broadhead, a popular young man taken far too soon. Kian was a son, brother, friend, work colleague and teammate. He came through Peel's junior setup and became our well-respected combi captain. He was a mentor to many young players finding their way in senior football and had the respect of everyone within the club. Considering today's weather and the amount of people here to remember Kian, it was a testament to the man he was. Kian's family, friends and the football club have been inundated with tributes to him from many areas, and the Manx football community has come together fantastically in the saddest of circumstances. In particular, we would like to extend a special welcome to Braddon and the Isle of Man FA today and thank them for the respect and kind words at this difficult time. Following a minute's silence signalled by the referee's whistle, the wreaths will be moved to the shed and Kian's tribute will remain there for the foreseeable. Best of luck to both teams today, and please play the game as Kian would have, wholeheartedly, with respect, and with that massive smile on his face. Thank you.
Right, Dave. It's been, how would you describe it? It's been it's been all going off this week, basically, hasn't it?
Yeah.
We've had proposed strikes. We've got a new FC Arnhem manager. You know, we've got potential hurricane. You know, it's literally all happening.
Just another week in Manx football, isn't it? I mean, you know, we it does happen every now and again. We just get these mental weeks.
Yes. So Wednesday, we'll go back a couple of days to Wednesday. Wednesday morning, you were there picking your nose on the sports desk. And news broke, didn't it?
It was Tuesday.
Yes.
So it was actually Tom that alerted us to this.
I had to give Alex Marley credit where it was due. He found out first. He gave me the scoop.
There was this mysterious screenshot that started appearing in group chats across the land.
They did. And you know what? I have to say to Alex Marley, I'm not going to give him too much credit because you can never trust him. It's something he'd probably make up on photocopy.
Photoshop. Photocopy that thing down in the corner. And then
I got that earlier. But it's something that I questioned. And you obviously don't know. And it's sometimes not easy to get an answer from the FA. It's sometimes not easy to find out exactly whether these things are true or not.
Yeah.
So we didn't run away with it straight away, did we, Dave? We did our research. We did our homework.
Yeah. So we spoke to Meps.
Yeah. So hang on. I think we need to say what the screenshot was first.
Yeah. So it showed the fixtures for the upcoming weekend, and it just had an abundance of no refs next to almost all the fixtures, bar three, which I thought was hilarious, because I love the idea that there's no games going on, bar these three, and this one guy's hung over going, why am I playing? Everyone else isn't, but yeah.
Yeah, so it soon became clear, Dave, you got on the blower, well, I say the blower, you started sending out emails and texts, didn't you?
Yeah. Frantically.
So I spoke to Meps, and he basically, you know, he told us the situation off the record. It's been bubbling under the surface for a little while, this. Obviously, it just sort of hit breaking point, but that there was crisis talks scheduled for Wednesday evening. And he was pretty positive. He thought that they'd be able to sort it out.
Yeah.
I also spoke to Tommy Crowe via Facebook briefly, just to get the referee's point of view, and it was pretty similar, to be honest. He didn't want to go into too much detail, rightly so, just wants it all to be sorted. And obviously they've then had the meeting on Wednesday, and it's positive news.
Yeah, so just to summarise, because there was a lot of emotion, we were all very giddy to tell you this story, there was a proposed strike by match officials. It seems to have been, there's been an issue which still hasn't really been clarified openly, that's brought it all to a head. The FA met with the referees society on Wednesday evening, representatives from the referees society. It all seems to be ironed out for now, and all being well, although, you know, as I've mentioned, the weather isn't looking great this weekend. This we can have some football, senior football this weekend.
Yeah. I just want to add, if we don't know exactly the full details, obviously. Yeah. We don't want to speculate either and make sure, but I'm glad it's all been resolved, but good on the referees. Sometimes when you want to stand up for things, and if you don't think something's right and they think that they can make a change, it clearly has worked. They've clearly had these meetings. I've got no qualms with the referee, where the referee society coming together and deciding, hang on a second, we don't think this is right. We don't think this should happen. And if they think that's the right way to go, that's the right way to go. And it's clearly worked for them. So I think fair enough.
And I think it's also probably underlined to some of the clubs how important our match officials
they're
are.
They're massive, aren't they? And I think we do, even I do, we take them for granted. Every week we talk about, when I saw all them no refs, I'm sat there going, that's my weekend buggered. and I imagine they did that every weekend.
Yeah.
You know, it's an...
You know, mess around there, Tom. You'd have been straight down the pub.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have messed your weekend up too much, would it?
It would have changed my weekend probably for the worse.
Yeah. My liver wouldn't have forgiven you.
It's already pretty struggling. So.
Yes. So as it stands, they've had some good talks. Dave, you did the story this morning. I think I can't remember the exact.
Yeah. So I've got the statement here. So I won't read all of it, but the headline bits are, so this joint statement from the FA and the UEFA Society said the importance of aligning a referee progression and development model with the national framework set out by the English FA has been agreed. A new referee working group will be established to help draft the Arnhem FA referee strategy. And both the Arnhem FA and the Arnhem Referee Society are working in collaboration to maximise referee coverage for all of the fixtures this coming weekend.
Right, well, we hope this is the start of an upward trajectory for the relationship, not only with the FA and the Referee Society, but for match officials overall. Mm. I have to say, last week, I think... Peter Lewis was out, Winston was out, the old guys, Willie Cowley, I'm sorry, I'm ugly.
The more mature guys.
Yeah, the more mature guys were out. Appreciating.
Yeah.
It's great to see, but it would be nice if there was a few more how should we sort this? A few more fresh blood.
Fresher faces, yeah.
To come and supplement their numbers a little bit.
But fingers crossed that comes around.
Yeah. As we mentioned before, Dave, there is a new man in charge of FC Alamein. Last time we spoke, Paul Jones was still in the hot seat. But sadly, he stepped down.
He has, and fair play to Paul, he's poured his heart and soul into that club, and he's obviously still going to remain involved. Obviously, the club just felt it was time for a change, and for about 12 hours, it was the worst kept secret amongst football. Who was going to take over?
Paul Hatton was tipped.
Yeah, he was.
And we tipped everyone.
That's the point we all wanted, really. Not least because I put 20 on 20-1. Yeah.
Well, apparently, what Dave Brewer, he firmly he said he only manages proper clubs.
Anyway, yeah, Rick Holden, the former Premier League winger, 70 appearances in the Premier League for Man City and Oldham. He's now in charge, former Peel, and obviously on the coaching team with the FA won gold in the Ireland Games in
Scotland 2017.
You were there, weren't you? It's only an interim appointment at the moment, as we understand, but there's been no length obviously placed on that. So good luck to Rick.
Massively. And I think it's an exciting time now, isn't it? It'll be interesting to see how that squad develops over the next few weeks. Yeah. Who he'll bring in, and let's watch this space. But they're back in action this weekend, aren't they? They had a week off last week.
Yes, so it sort of happened at an opportune moment. I'm sure that's why the review was planned for that weekend. They're currently third bottom, aren't they, in the standings? It's been a tough start, shall we put it that way, results wise. The Holden era begins against Barnswick Town at the Bowl on Saturday, 6 PM kickoff. I'm sure they would appreciate your support. Right, Dave, this time last week, we were stood in a field.
I mean, where else would you want to be on a Friday?
On a beautiful Friday.
It was. A bit different to today. But there you go.
You called it team bonding. I called it CDP, career development. We went to Nobles Park, because if you've been, I don't know if you've driven past, Tom, that there's
I have
ruddy great big mounds of soil.
It's crazy, isn't it? One second there's a grandstand with loads of people bustling around, Manx Grand Prix going on. The next minute you look over it and it's...
It's this massive track. It does resemble something out of a motocross track at the moment. But yeah.
Don't give the youth of Douglas any ideas.
Basically, the top pitch, closest to St Ninian's, next to the grandstand return lane, is being developed at the moment. Douglas and District and the Douglas Council have come together to put £40,000, I believe, into the redevelopment of that pitch. It was always on the small side, shall we say.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've ever played up there.
I have played up there, small side and on an angle.
On a slope.
It genuinely mattered whether you were which side you'd start on, but a proper Manx football ground, I have to say, and I'm delighted to see it again.
I think the two steps from the byline into the box was always a bit of an issue if I was there.
And I remember the ball consistently going onto Glen Clutchery Road a few times. It happens at Geordie's, but you've got to have a bigger kick. D&D, you could just kick it just a little clip. Just dink onto someone's car. It was brilliant.
Was it usually your clearances or your shots?
I can't kick it up for you, CJ, so it had to be someone else.
So Douglas Royal used to play there. Govs have played there. D&D, I've played there in the past. I think Dave reminded me, I think I said 2010 to 2018, but actually it was 2011. So they had 11 years there before moving to the Groves Road, Springfield Road, where they are now. And they've also had a season at the Bowl, lest we forget, when St Mary's didn't have a team.
But if that grass could talk, some of the stories of that
place. Quite seriously.
Seriously,
Well, it's gone now because they're hoping it will reseed in the next month or so. And they'll start levelling it. We'll listen to, we spoke to, obviously, Manx Football Pod superfan Dave Matheson and Andrew Dosser, who both are on the committee at Douglas and District, about the new plans. But one of the headline facts for me is that they're going to bring that bottom corner, which you just alluded to, the mighty Nobles Park slope, it's going to be brought up two metres.
Which is crazy.
Absolutely bonkers. It's going to be banked at that end. Andrew, as you'll hear shortly, said that they've been promised it'll have less of a gradient than St James's Park as a Newcastle Premier League pitch.
That's amazing.
And the standard of football will be the exact same as St James's Park.
Precisely. Whether the Combi or first team are playing, it will be exactly the same.
I'm absolutely made up for Dave and the D&D, though, in general, because the amount of work that they do. What a club D&D are, They're a proper club, aren't they?
Well, we'll hear more about it now, but I said they're really hopeful this will... Spark hopefully get a few more players in. They said, you know, one of the main reasons they've moved is getting change in the temporary facilities down at Paul Rose is not great at the moment.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that gets resolved as well. That's another issue that, that we're hoping to see be fixed, basically. Yeah.
So let's have a listen to what Dave and Andrew had to say now.
Right, I'm delighted to say we're here at outside of the Manx Footy Podcast HQ today for a bit of a momentous day, Dave. You know, Dave's behind the camera, so he's going to nod now. Oh, and it's on a gimbal, it won't move, will it?
Hopefully not.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're at Nobles Park with a couple of D&D lads, Dave Matheson, Manx Footy Pod superfan. How are you doing, Dave?
Good, Andy, how are you?
I'm good, mate. It's nice to be out of the office, you know, and with Dave. You know, this counts as, what do they call it?
Team bonding,
yeah.
Nice to be on the road on the pod. Been on a few times, but we've never done an outdoor one.
No, this is, again, we're breaking ground in many ways today.
Excellent.
And we're also joined by Andrew Dosser, another D&D legend, I'm led to believe. Andrew, you know, a bit of a exciting day, because I say, not only is there a big digger behind us digging what was your old pitch up, but we're going to talk about that in a minute. But it's actually nice weather for once.
Yeah, it's getting a bit colder. You can tell the weather has turned, but yeah, come down to have a look at what they've done, and they've made a fantastic start. They've done a lot of work in a few weeks, and looking forward to it.
Yeah, so this is very weird for me now, Dave, because used to be when you've been in and done podcasts in the past, maybe not the most recent one, we just did audio, so we didn't have to worry.
Yes.
So we had to describe, paint a picture with our words, didn't we?
Yes.
But now we're on the YouTube and we're getting a few hits. We have to now have the visual aspect. So I'm going to have to try and describe it for both platforms at the moment. But I'm stood, what was your old pitch at the top of Nobles Park? Just sort of next to the pit lane return for the TT fans amongst us. When did you move off here? Because you're down at Groves Road. Sorry, I nearly got that wrong again.
Yeah, so we've had a bit of a nomadic existence for the last few years. We've moved around. We've been down at Groves Road. This will be our fourth season down there now. We previously at the Bowl as well for a season before that, before St Mary's got back. So we've been down at Groves Road for a few years now. So we came from Nobles Park originally. There was certain issues with the pitch. It was becoming a little bit dangerous. It was coming smaller, etc. But hopefully the work that's getting done from now will resolve all of those issues.
Yeah, so the digger noise, which we've already alluded to, and what Dave's mentioned is there is a tremendous amount of pit work being done on the pitch now. And you boys are coming home, Dave, aren't you?
Yeah, that's how we're seeing it, yeah. So we've actually been in discussion about developing Nobles Park with Douglas Council since 2018. So it's been a long, old road, but we had to get certain agreements in place to make sure that we were doing the right thing, basically. So we've had a long, long road of trying to get where we are now, but we're really excited moving forward for the future.
So, Andrew, I was just, you know, no, any of us who've played sport at Nobles Park at any point, even if it was the cross country and at St Ninian's back in the day, the slope has been a feature of any sport. And I remember playing rugby down the slope. You always wanted to win the coin toss. But the work that's getting done at the moment, that's going to sort of get rid of that, isn't it?
Well, when I joined in 2017-2018, there wasn't that much of a slope, but over the years it seemed to get worse and worse, and the pitch got smaller and smaller, and in the end it felt like you were playing on a massive hill. And what they've promised us is that the actual gradient that's going to be on this pitch is going to be less than what's at St James's Park, Newcastle.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can see the amount of soil that they're going to have to put in, and, you know, we've been told that down the far end is going to raise by about 2 metres. But hopefully by the end of it, you know, there'll just be enough for drainage and it'll be like playing on a wonderful flat grass pitch.
Is that going to disadvantage you guys? Because you're used to playing, you know, with this slope, you know where the little bumps and the undulations are, don't you?
Well, I think we had one of our best seasons when we were on the Bowl on that flat carpet. And, you know, the pitch down at Groves Road is pretty flat. There is a little bit of a hill, but it is pretty flat, and we've played some nice football on it. Trying to remember which season was our best season, but we're definitely on that pitch for our best season that we've ever had. So, you know, hopefully flat pitch, get rid of hoof ball, maybe we can actually play like Pep.
Dave, now you're obviously making the decision to move away from Groves Road / Springfield Road. Obviously, for those that don't know, it's the pitch between the two, isn't it? It's not where Pulley and Doug Dafka are playing their games at the bottom of the golf course. It's closer to the NSC.
Opposite the NSC, yeah. So the one that's in between the two roads, really. Yeah.
But you've made the decision you want to move away from there.
Yeah, it's a decision that we've Well, number one, we wanted to be at Nobles Park. The facilities in the pavilion are fantastic, as you know. So we've wanted to stay based up here. The only reason we were moved away was because, as Doss described, the condition of the pitch was worsening. But with Groves Road, obviously the situation at the minute is our home teams are changing in porter cabins. The away teams are in the old police station. We're obviously across the road. There's a portaloo behind the bus stop, etc. So getting everything all in one area that will be D&D's home is the main objective. So as much as we did start off down in Pullrose, we were originally down at Groves Road, then Springfield Road, before moving to Nobles Park in 2010. That was brought upon by the NSC change room blocks being destroyed, so we moved up here. Luckily, it coincided with Corinthians and Douglas Royal vacating up to Bala Fletcher. So we've been up here since 2010. But yeah, we've been down at Groves Road, and they were looking at the new facilities up there, so there's still plans in place to get them sorted for Pullrose and Douglas Athletic.
Obviously, the big question will be this... This is still going to be Douglas Corporation's land, isn't it? Yep. But you guys have put a lot of money into making this a reality, haven't you?
Yes, we have, yeah. So it's something, you know, I think everyone who's semi-aware of the club is, you know, aware of the fundraising we do. We do our race nights, which you've obviously been to yourself. We do, you know, we've got a club lottery where 25 people all put money in per month, and we do 3 draws a year. Will Gavin does a last man standing, which raises money for the club. So we have had to get funds together to do this. But, yeah, we are putting money in. It is Douglas Corporation facilities, but people are wondering, you know, why are we putting money into Douglas Council facilities when they're not ours? And the reason is we've agreed upon over a 7-year period a 45% discount in our pitch hire.
Right.
So over the course of the 7 years, it will work out that we are roughly breaking even anyway, so that's how it's going to work out for us. So it's going to be a worthwhile investment.
We've already mentioned the TT. Obviously, this pitch, some people will know it as a car park at some times of the year. Is that still going to be the case?
No. As I mentioned earlier, we've been in discussions to get this developed since 2018, and the main reason to stop it the development was we were willing to put our own money in. However, we didn't want to put a load of money in, the pitch gets developed, and then it gets ripped up if they have, you know, monster trucks or whatever on here, as mentioned earlier. So, but however, as of last summer, so 2024 up until 2031, there's a 7-year license agreement in place with the Corby and TT and Manx Grand Prix, so it will not be used. So it's not going to be used as a car park. So we have thought of that, and it's not something that's just, you know, we put 10 grand in and they're just developing it as a car park.
Andrew, obviously, have you got a... There's a lot of work still to be done, and we can see we're in very much in the early stages at the moment. Is there a time frame in mind yet for when you may be able to get a kick a ball in this new pitch?
Well, I think that they're planning to have the grass in by the beginning of November, so it'll seed over the winter and into the summer. And fingers crossed, if everything goes to plan, we might be playing on it next September. If not, you know, if they have to do a bit more work, then we'll move into 2027. But that's not the end of the world, because, you know, we'll still get 4 or 5 years on here. And we'll still be able to call it a home. And then at the end of the agreement that Dave's just mentioned, there's no reason why we can't renew that and still continue here. I mean, they've got fantastic facilities down there. Dave's alluded to the fact that at Groves Road, Springfield Road, we're changing porter cabins. It's incredibly difficult to attract any players when you say, you know, come and get changed in this tiny little porter cabin. You know, you're then going to have to walk down to the pitch. There's no shower facilities. We haven't really got running water. You know, we've got a portaloo as a toilet. You know, players are just not going to want to do that. Whereas you come here, you're going to play on a very flat pitch. You're going to have all these fantastic facilities. Mm. And moving into the future, you know, we might be able to use that to attract players.
Well, I noticed that even just this morning, you guys have put on social media you're trying to attract players. Is it a bit like the Kevin Costner film, Field of Dreams at the moment? You know, build it and hopefully they will come.
Yeah. Well, I think that's probably what it is. You know, if you look at the other football clubs around the island, a lot of them have got fantastic facilities, and there's a reason for them to go. You know, we've always been a social club. We've always had a social side. We've always had nights out. We've always had a tour off island, which is reasons why people would come. But ultimately, to play football every Saturday, you know, you go out during the winter, you get absolutely soaked wet through, you're coming back, you're in this tiny little porter cabin with 14 other lads, you're stinking, you're soaking wet, you can't really get changed because there's no room. You know, lads are just going to find something else to do or go somewhere else where they've got proper facilities. Coming back to Nobles Park, it puts us back on a level playing field with all the other clubs.
Quite literally. Yes, quite literally. Dave, just finally before we go today, I just want to talk about the current season, if I may.
Yes.
Not been the greatest of starts, but, you know, the only way is up, as Yaz once said, isn't it?
100%, yeah. We're really struggling, as you touched on them. We're appealing for players at the minute, and yeah, it's difficult, and I've got a lot of admiration for our managers and players. You know, they're always trying to get new players in, trying to get people to come back, trying to check availability of players. But it's a sticky situation. I mean, traditionally, you know, if you go over history, D&D have finished third, fourth, bottom of Division 2 a lot of the time. With 10 teams in Division 2 now and a lot of teams not in Division 2, if, you know, if all the teams below Everton pulled out the Premier League, they'd have been relegated 10 times, Andy.
Thanks for putting that on me. Yeah. What I was going to say, though, and I think Andrew alluded to it as well, despite all the, you know, the things that have set you back in a way, you've always been really good at recruiting players. You know, what would be your advice to some of the other clubs in Division 2 that seem to struggle to do that?
Right now, I wouldn't give anyone any advice because we're desperate for players, and every week we've really struggled getting players in. Masters coming in, young lads coming in who've just turned 16, etc. But just be proactive, you know, tell people what your club has to offer, give them something that, you know, we're always promoting what we do and what we are about as a club. You know, a lot of people, when they leave D&D, whenever that is, whether they're moving on to another club or they stop playing, they've got fond memories of the club and it's got a special place in their heart. So if you can, you know, give a plan of what you want your club to be and what you want it to represent, advertise that, get people involved, get their friends involved, because a lot of it comes from teammates, friends pushing each other and getting people to join, rather than me necessarily doing socials posts saying how great we are and what we do.
But you've also built on your junior section as well. You know, I've seen some of the posts you put recently. Some of them are now coming into senior football.
Yeah, it's really good to see. We started our junior teams 13 years now, and obviously the intention was to have a pathway into the senior football, and we've had that the last few years now. So we've had some lads who played senior football already this season that were in our under-16s last year. We had a Cal Cup team for the first time since 2015. The majority of that squad was either current players or players that have come through our juniors previously. So, yeah, we're looking forward to building on that pathway and getting as many people playing for D&D, wearing a D&D shirt and playing football under our umbrella as possible. We have, you know, as you know, we've got Masters, we do walking football, we're hoping to start a women's team hopefully next year. We've got a big girl set up, we've got a lot of big boys set up, multiple facilities booked and used for training, loads of great coaches, loads of great sponsors. So a lot of hard work done by a lot of people has gone into this over the years. And right now, obviously, the senior teams are struggling, but the club as a whole is in a very good place.
Yeah, and I think we'll be even a better place when you get back up here.
Yes, it'll be a nice flat pitch where we can all come and maybe reduce some of the facilities where we have to train because we can use this.
And the Dave Matheson Memorial stand somewhere?
I'm not yet.
Well, it's only a matter of time, Dave, no matter what you do. All right, cheers, guys. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Andy.
Cheers.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Cheers.
Right, chaps, it's that time of the podcast when we look ahead to Saturday's fixtures. Now, if this was in print or in online, we'd probably put a massive big asterisk at this point because the weather for Saturday is not great, and that is not an understatement. We'll hear more about that, and Dave reads the weather, but this could be we've not had a weather warning for a while, have we, Dave?
No, and you know, it's the reason why Tom's been so giddy in the office this week. Yeah. Again, you pull surprises for all these features.
I do.
Tom gets most excited when there's a weather warning.
I do get giddy with the weather warning, but I'm a bit gutted it's affecting the weekend. I quite prefer it when it's, you know, midweek.
He loves a live blog.
Yeah, I do.
Anyway, so now hopefully the referees issue's resolved, you know, and if there is a massive misunderstanding by the Met Office and we do get games on at the weekend, there should be 6 games in the top flight on Saturday, and including a big one at Bella Fletcher, Dave.
It's a huge game. Corinthians versus Onken.
Yeah. First v third.
I know. Yeah. Who'd have thought that a few weeks ago?
You told me that.
I think Corinthians obviously flying high. A lot of people talked about it. But Onken really have been the surprise package so far. And they're only, what, 2 points behind? But they've got a game in hand.
Yeah.
So
1 point behind.
Sorry, 1 point behind. Yeah. So They're having a phenomenal start to the season. They've just beaten Rushen.
I wonder how many tipped Onken to possibly be in a relegation fight. Now they're currently in third on 13 points. 13 points might be enough to keep you up.
Yeah.
They might be safe now.
Right. Historically, yeah. I think the benchmark was 12. So.
And Wheaton Morale got 12 and still went down.
And then come back up and again.
Yeah. Unrelegable.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a big game. Corinthians obviously were many people's pre-season tips, Dave. They've got the band back together. We've lamented about this before. Lament's not the right word, but we've talked about it a bit before. Sorry, Sean Doyle, Luke Murray, it's a who's who of which was at the spine of the FC Almans up to a couple of seasons ago. Their goals for is quite scary, really. 30 goals in 6 games, although they have been shut out
last week. It was a rare goalless draw. I say rare. Laxey had a goalless draw the week before as well.
Yeah. Which I think I'm going to put my neck on the line and say I can't remember in my near 20 years in this job of two a team having successive 0-0 draws.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That never happened.
Not in the top flight, I don't think.
We had a list. This is how rare 0-0s were. Me and Dave had a list, thanks to Eric, which stretched back to 2007, I think, when the Premier League started. We do are aware Manx football was in existence before 2007, before we get into that.
It definitely was.
That contained all the 0-0 draws. And I've got a feeling, last time we updated it, it was only about 12.
Yeah, 12 or 13, I think it was around
in
there.
Nearly 20 years.
Do you think we've had a handful over the last couple of years, but now already we've had two back-to-back.
Do you think defenders are getting better? Is that what's happening?
Oh, absolutely not. Strikers are getting worse.
That makes it more sense to me.
It's so rare, though.
It's so weird that that's...
Laxey are obviously on it at the back. And, you know, you've got a little bit of insight. They're playing at centre-back in the...
Yeah, DLC well, from what I hear, that Palmer's been trialling a few different things. I'd even heard a rumour that Cam Avery was playing in central defensive midfielder, which is unfathomable to me. I mean, how does that work, Palmer? I'm not sure if that's true. I don't know if he was centre-half on the weekend. I'm not too sure. Yeah. Haven't caught up with Cam, but... Laxey's defence seems solid, and that could be because Tom Cowan's not playing.
Well, unfortunately for Tom, anyway, lovely guy, friend of the podcast, he has the two games he's missed, they've got screen sheets. So.
Yeah, but then two without scoring. Maybe Tom could be the difference from a corner or perhaps or something like that.
You're being a bit kind.
I am being a bit kind. Yeah.
Anyway, Corinthians.
Time for everything there, Tom.
Yeah. Corinthians have still scored 30 goals in 6 games. Onken, not quite as prolific, just the 15 and 5. So still an average of 3 a game, which isn't too bad. Their star man, though, has been Tom Crea, hasn't it?
Without a doubt. I mean, he got 2 more goals last week against Rushen in a 3-1 win. He got 2 against St. Mary's at the game I was at a few weeks ago, and I think he got 2 against St. John's. He's flying. He's certainly going to, on this rate, he's going to be a challenger for the Golden Boot. And he's had a great start to the season.
They've not had easy games as well. They've played Rushen, Ayr, and Ramsey.
And St. Mary's. And St. John's.
That 5 fixtures, you look at them. I generally would have looked at them at the start of the season and said, you're not getting points.
Yeah.
So
it's a great run. Yeah. The confidence is obviously with them. For Corinthians, Tom, you know, we talk about their attacking arsenal. I keep saying how many goals they've scored in 6 games.
Yeah.
Is it going to be how they keep him and Tom quiet?
Yeah, genuinely, it will be. And the thing is, For Corinthians, it's not necessarily about how good they're going to be like now and how many they can put 10 past Foxdale, they can do all that, but it's all about how long you do it during the season. You know, the teams of the past that have won the Premier League, the top flight in Manx football, it's all about consistency and doing it week on week on week. And I think that would be the message that the Corinthians boss is saying to them. It'll just be, you've got to do it no matter what team you're against, you've got to do the exact same thing again and again. Repeat, basically. And I can see Corinthians beating Onken, but it won't be an easy fight. Onken have been flying, so.
Dave, you're going to put your punditry neck
on that? I agree with Tom there. I think it is going to be close. There's definitely goals in it for Onken. I just think Corinthians probably just have slightly too much. But don't discount Onken at all.
That'd be Onken's first loss of the season. And if they were to lose to Corinthians by a narrow scoreline, what start?
And what if they win it?
Exactly.
They go top.
Exactly.
And I think Hattie pointed out, if they keep this going and they get in the Railway Cup, it'll be the first time since 1938-39.
That's incredible.
And they won it that year.
Yeah.
Did they win it that year? Yeah. So who's to say they won't win it this
year? The omens are good. Elsewhere, Dave, there's a bit of an early season 12-pointer at Victoria Road where Braddon take on Old Boys. Now, Tom, Braddon, we're licking the wounds a little bit after a bit of a pasting last week at Peel. Obviously, a motive day at the Sunset City. But 10-2, it's you know, it's very rare we see a double figure scoreline.
In the top flight, like especially. Top flight, yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. It happens further down, but yeah, in the top flight, it doesn't happen an awful lot. It's a properly tough day for Brad. And to be 6-0 down at half time, the message has got to be keep it tight. And
well, they've only lost the second half 4-2.
Yeah, so. Yeah, there's positives.
Yeah,
there is. And Peel maybe took their foot off the gas a bit. You know, when you're comfortably ahead by that much, it's understandable. Maybe you concede a few. It won't be, the defenders and the keeper won't be too happy. I'm always agitated when we concede, no matter if you're ahead or not. Not that we're ahead all that often, but Peel will be frustrated. They conceded that too. But what a win that is for Peel and Brad. And yeah, they came off the back of a 6-1 win against Foxdale. But it's not been an easy run for Mills either, and I don't for Braddon, sorry, and we've not seen.
But that's so. If you sometimes in the, even in the Manx top flight, which is relatively small, we've got 13 teams, you break it into smaller sections, don't you?
Yeah.
So in those last 4 weeks, they've had Foxdale and Mills, who you would say Mills blow so hot and cold that you don't know perhaps where they're going to be in the mix.
Yeah.
And I know, speaking to Alex downstairs, they've struggled a little bit with personnel availability at the start of this season.
Mm-hmm.
But they've taken 4 points off teams that will be in and around them.
Yeah.
So that's good, isn't it?
It is.
So do you almost write last week off?
I think you can. And I think you can. It's just about, if you're turning up at Peel and Corinthians and you're getting stuck like battered, but then you're not winning the games of the teams around you, then you're concerned. But if you're doing the business against the teams in and around, you're getting points here and there, you're not as concerned about them batterings. Yeah. You just brush them off. But I can imagine at training this week, Brad will have just been thinking, ignore that 10-2 result and just focus on getting a better result here in a game that's very doable.
Yeah.
They can easily get something here, I think.
Dave, we're calling this a derby. There must be, I reckon, a good shot putter, or Joe Harris, the Ireland javelin hero, could probably get the javelin from
Victoria Road.
It's not far at all, is it, Brandon? Is it? It's a very short trip. Oh, where's it been played?
Victoria Road.
So all boys have got not far to go.
No.
Two turns? Three turns.
Well, if they head chopped, they could probably do it in one.
And it depends where they park as well, because if they park at the top of the Geordies, or if they go in the Victoria Road entrance, you see, it's all, yeah, it matters.
But definitely a derby.
Yeah, all classic one.
So those results have given Brandon 4 points, Dave. The old boys still have to break their duck with 6 games played, 6 defeats.
But again, as you've alluded to, they've had a tricky start, haven't they? They came unstuck, was it 7-2 against Union Mills last week? So, yeah. And also they've had Russian.
They've had Corinthians, they've had Air, they've had Ramsey, and they've had St Mary's. So
that's a tough start.
That's a tough start.
Not easy. And you know what? Them results, some of them aren't as bad as maybe they look from the outside. You know, 2-0 lost to Ramsey, 4-2 against Air, just 2 against Russian. It's not like they're getting pasted.
No.
Is it? They're still in games, they're still scoring goals. So I wouldn't write off all boys. I can still see them staying up.
I would say if it's Robbie Ward's in charge of it, probably,
yes, he is.
If I was Robbie, you'd probably be disappointed with last week's result.
Last week is the one out of all of them. Last week, you'd probably look at it and go, that's frustrating.
Although, Luke Booth was back for Union Mills.
Exactly, and we all know what he can do in front of goal.
So, Dave, results prediction?
I'm going to go on my fence. I'm going to go for a draw.
Well, it's funny you should talk about the fence, Dave.
There it is.
Right, so I'm
so glad this has finally been done.
Yeah, I've the other week we were talking about it, and I thought, you know what, Dave needs a graphic for his fence sitting. So I'm trying to make, how do I make this full screen?
Yeah, doing well. I've only got 2 chins.
That's our friends at ChatGPT.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you can see that's Dave painting his memorial fence. So if you're listening to this on audio, I recommend you hop over to our YouTube channel now, and then you can see the new Dave Norton memorial fence.
I finally made it. Yes.
Yeah, we actually kind of need one, the real one.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
I like it. It's good.
Why is the dog in? Did you ask for a dog?
I didn't ask for a dog.
I know listeners won't get
drinking
this.
Drinking a beer.
That's about right. I know listeners won't appreciate this, but have you taken inspiration from James Campbell with this?
No, I haven't. No, that's a very niche reference, I think.
Yeah. Listeners will surely know what that means.
Yeah, yeah. Only Adam Norton will get that. Yes, so you're going to go.
He's not listening.
So you're going for a draw, Dave?
Yes, certainly am.
Tom?
I'll go with a Braddon win just.
I'm going to go for a Braddon win.
Joel Ibanez winner.
We'll be calling winners, yeah?
Yeah.
Right, next game is... Let's take a trip to Union Mills, actually, because we've talked about them already. They've had a bit of a mixed start to the season, but they take on a Laxey side that has impressed in recent weeks.
Mm.
Two 0-0 draws,
which is unheard of. Yeah.
But that's been married in with some other standout results, Dave, hasn't it?
Certainly has. So are you saying there's going to be another goalless draw this weekend?
Imagine they just could do that to the end of the season.
That'd be amazing. Yeah. I'd love that.
Yeah.
They picked up win 1, 2, 3, 4 wins. So they're actually still unbeaten, aren't they?
Exactly. And the fact that the two draws come against Russian and Corinthians teams, that the chances are they'll be in and around it in the season. They're not bad results at all.
And we also mentioned on the previous podcast that some of those wins have been when they've been reduced down to 10 men.
Exactly.
So there's obviously a good resilience about Maxi this season.
Or a discipline issue.
Yeah. You can say that to Johnny Palmer, don't
you? Yeah, sorry, Johnny.
Uni Mills, though, they'll be massively boosted by that win last week. Tyler Hughes got 4 goals, so the confidence should be back in the squad with that. But I would imagine this will be a game too far for Mills. I think Laxey will just have a bit too much.
I can see Laxey finishing the day, or maybe not with the goal difference. I was going to say, I'd like to see them, I think we could see them finishing top of the league by the end of the weekend, but the goal difference, I can see.
They're still going to be level pegging them.
They will.
If they beat Mills and Corinthians, maybe age pass Onken, they'd both be on 17 points. Now, I'm getting a feeling of deja vu around Laxey, though.
Yeah.
I feel like they always start the season really well and then fade quicker than old Ricardo will put them in Unit 5. Yeah. Not Unit 5, Barbacoa.
Yeah. The Laxey thing's a tough one because, speaking to Cowan and a few of the Lexi boys before the season, it was all about just improving, making it better. But I think when you find yourself in this situation it changes it massively.
Even after only 6 games.
I think it does. I don't think you're now looking and going, oh, we want to get top 4 now. I think Lexi will be looking around and going, we could get something here.
I say only 6 games. That's the halfway point of the season.
Which is crazy, isn't it?
No, it's not.
It's quarter way
through. There's my math showing through again. Sorry, Mum.
I do think a quarter way through the season, if you'll find yourselves joint top of the league, you automatically start thinking this is a good chance to win a title, especially with a Laxey team that have won the Hospital Cup in recent years, but they've just not been there in
the
league.
It's just the consistency.
And in fairness to them, it's maybe even disrespect to them that they've not been up there towards the top of the title league, because how many good teams have been up there? Like, Peel won it. Like, it's hard to beat them teams.
Massively.
So, I think...
Well, listen, they've proven they can beat anyone on the day. It's just getting that consistency.
I think no one at Waxy will tell you this, but they'll be all thinking about a title this season. Yeah. I think no one will admit that, but I think they'll all be thinking.
I think Johnny Barber would have.
Maybe he would, yeah. Maybe he would, yeah. We should ask him.
Yeah. So, I'm going to go Laxey win. You're going Laxey win.
Laxey
win. Right. Yeah. Air United take on St Mary's this weekend, Andrew. Now, I was... those of you who follow my football career might know I play on Wednesday night at the St John's Mega Bowl. And St Mary's have been training with us after. Alex was down last night. They had good numbers. He said he was expecting a tough game this weekend, and as you can imagine, any game when you go to Andrews is tough. I did spot someone who didn't spot me.
Oh, is it exclusive?
I don't know if it's exclusive. It wasn't exclusive, but I thought if this player is available, it might, how should I put this, change things slightly.
Okay. Can we find out who it is?
I'm teasing.
Okay.
The GOAT himself.
Which one?
Steedo.
No way.
He was trained. Steve Priestnell was training last night. Now, he may only just be turning the legs over because I know he's a fan of veteran football now.
Yeah, he's tearing up there.
We've said before, and he is one of the most naturally gifted finishers the Manx football's ever seen. Yeah. His movement was unbelievable.
If they get him back, that's massive.
300 goals?
Something.
Him and Packer.
A proper Manx football legend, would you go as far as to say.
So, I think that's a big shot in the arm if they get him playing.
Oh, yeah, huge. The confidence that...
I may be putting 2 and 2 together and getting 7.
We'll
see.
But
that's what football journalism is.
Richie Ramone's got nothing on you. These rumours.
I have to say, though, I think Mary's have been unlucky this season. Just looking at their results, they've not lost a game. They've lost the last 4. Everyone's been by 1 goal.
Right.
So it's not like they've been nowhere near the races. Look at that. Look at that.
They love a 3-2.
They love a 3-2.
Probably actually hate a 3-2.
Yeah, but that's remarkable. And a few of them have been late, I'm aware of.
The Auckland one was the last minute.
Exactly. So Mary's are not... They're not off it, and especially if they bring Priestnell back in. Who's to say that they can't get something at air who've not been flying themselves, really?
No, I think they are 11th and 7th, respectively. 5 points between the two.
They're on the back of this 2-all draw to the Johnners.
Air are obviously slightly higher at the moment, having played a game more. Yeah, I think this will be a good game.
I do.
I think people, well, I might be wrong, players, you might can obviously put your insight in here. I feel like there's a bit of a mental block about travelling to Andrews.
There certainly is.
Even if you're travelling from Ramsey.
Yeah, too far.
Yeah.
It's too north.
I genuinely don't know how the Russian players do it.
No, especially the midweek game. Do you know when it's like midweek? You finish work at 5.
You just finish work at 3, you still won't be there.
Exactly. And I can't, even though I've done it at that trip so many times, to either watch the first team, play in the combi, whatever, I still don't know where I'm going. Yeah. Every single road, I normally take a wrong turn somewhere. I always try and find the shop in Andrews, you know, that small little shop. I still am like...
Is that even open up
Saturdays? I'm not sure. Honestly, that... once you locate the pub, I think you're in a good way, near the Grosvenor.
Well, you just never go beyond that.
Yeah. Sorry, lads, I'm unavailable.
Yeah.
Travelling to Ayr is probably the hardest away.
You think?
I think so, in Manx football. That or Ramsey. But it obviously depends where you are.
I always thought Michael away was a tough game as well, because that wind off the coast.
Yeah, the closest to the football pitch to the sea.
back to when we...
Christmas special.
Yeah. Another tough issue tackled by
We nailed it, didn't we? Everyone was asking the question.
That was an afternoon spent on Google Maps, wasn't it? I think Ayr will just have enough, even if the GOAT does return.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I think Ayr will sneak it.
I think it'll be all square. I think a draw.
I haven't got a graphic for you.
Yeah.
Right, the final game in the top flight on Saturday sees Foxdale take on Peel in a derby of, I was going to say the starts, but it is definitely a derby.
Yeah.
Billy Goat Park, so we can call that one game off now.
Yeah, let's not talk about it.
But it's been a tough season for Foxdale. They lost their best reserve left back at the weekend, didn't they?
They did. Barton Beaumont has officially left the Isle of Man. He's on his travels to New Zealand. I'm sure he'll be listening wherever he is. But he's got off to move to New Zealand. I don't think permanently. I think he'll be back, but he's going to explore the other side of the world.
Yeah.
But I was thinking to myself on this trip we went on the weekend, do you reckon he's the only person in the world to pack up his things in Foxdale and move to New Zealand?
Probably not.
Do you reckon?
No, well, if you think about Foxdale, historically, forgive me, listeners, as we go down this particular cul-de-sac. Foxdale was a mining town.
Okay.
And I feel like there was probably people that were going from from Foxdale to all over the world. There's America and...
So Barton can't take that claim then, okay.
No, I reckon there's other people moved to New Zealand from Foxdale.
From Foxdale, okay.
Send us in.
He'll be a miss for Foxdale. Not necessarily... genuinely through his ability. He'll be missed for the social sides and all that, but also he's a very good person at rallying people together, you know, bringing the club all together. And as well, he's been a really good utility player since coming out of goal. He'll be a miss. He was a good goalkeeper. Maybe he should have stuck to that.
Yeah.
he'll be a miss at Foxdale in both on and off the pitch.
Now, I've got a feeling Foxdale's last game, Dave, was against, bear with me, listener, while I get up full time.
They were at 6-1, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I've got a feeling Chatwood was injured for that one.
Was he? Because they need him back, don't
they? Yeah,
we?
So that.
It was flat last season.
Last season. That was a good result. That was going to 7-1-0 there, right?
Lost 1-0 to there. That's not bad.
This is very professional of us, isn't it? Foxdale. Why is that not coming up? Anyway, so the last game, but I've got a feeling Chatwood's injured. So he was one of their. Is their standout player now?
Yeah.
Having after the sort of
6-1,
summer departures, and I don't think he was in the team sheet.
No, he wasn't. No.
So there'll be a rush to get him back, won't there? And because he offers them goals, he holds the ball up for them. He lets players like Liam Cannon and feed off him.
And if you're playing appeal to you, you need a hold up man that can look after the ball. The last thing you want to do as a defender is clear it up the pitch. And then it comes right back to you. You need someone to look after it, get all the players involved.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough old day. It's going to be a really old day, if this goes ahead, of course. But it's going to be one of them that's going to be really difficult. And I was away with a lot of the Foxdale lads on the weekend for Barton's leave and do. And I posed a question to them this season. It's looking like it's going to be a tough old year.
Yeah.
And Moran got 4 points last year.
Will they better?
I've suggested that this is... apparently, according to Barbie, that's their target.
Four. So, I, but five.
Obviously, staying up will be their main target, and I think they can do it, but it's all Andy Ball's fault.
It's always Andy Ball's fault. Those T-shirts are in the post, by the way.
Yeah.
Peel, Dave. Now, we look at the league table, sixth, five, I played 5, 8 points. Is that a disappointing start?
They'll probably think so, yeah. But I think also, I mean, they drew with Corinthians, very close fought game. Probably the defeat to Russian will have hurt them the most, but yeah, they were down to 10 men. Mm. So, yeah.
I don't think it... It's harsh to say it's disappointing, isn't it? When they beat Ayr and then drew with Ayr. Their games have been tough. I think they had to get something at Corinthians.
Yeah.
In all honesty. But then what a resounding win that is to bounce yourself back against Brad in 10-2. Yeah. And I think it's another lovely game for them against Foxdale, you know, yeah, just to...
And they have got a game in hand. You know, I am playing devil's advocate, as it were. But we all think he'll win in this one, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, Thomas Brown goes into off the back of a hat-trick last week. Imagine it'll probably get the same, if not more, this weekend if it goes ahead. So,
yeah,
very much. So pessimistic.
Yeah, Billingham Park, come on.
Oh. It's going to be the only game that goes ahead this weekend.
Indescribably, I don't even know what the word is, but I've missed a game then. Russian are playing St John's this weekend.
Yes, they are.
Well, or being well.
Yeah.
Russian, now let's have a quick chat about them. Now, yeah, they are blowing more hot than cold this
season. They've had a good start to the season, particularly compared to last year when it was a really sluggish start. But they'll be disappointed with that result against Duncan last week.
Yeah, they will.
Desperate to bounce back, I think.
Yeah, they will. And then the 0-0 before that, so their last win was back in...
back in September. only 2 weeks ago, yeah.
Back in September is the last time they won. But no, Russian, they'll be looking to bounce back, won't they?
Yeah.
Against the St John's side, who are actually not doing too badly themselves, you know.
Well, they drew with Ayr last week.
Exactly. That's a great result. They obviously got beat by Ramsey. They beat Marys. That's another. It's one of them games where the teams are happy, the teams aren't.
If you just call St John's fixtures back up again, yep. But if we look, they've conceded 2 goals in every game.
Every game.
Will Brown must be tearing his hair.
Yeah, exactly. That they need to tighten that back.
Obviously,
yeah.
I think they've got a new keeper this year.
They don't have Sticks, of course, do they?
Yeah, he's gone back
to Braddon. Yeah, was he originally at Braddon?
Yes. Yeah. Was he? Yeah. So they've got a new goalkeeper in place, and maybe a bit of that always takes time to bed in.
It does.
So if they can tighten that end up, I feel like they should be pushing for at least top six, shouldn't they?
No, definitely. That it's a tough one to call this game.
And you're lucky it was amongst the scorers last week for St John's. Dean Leash, massive player for them.
Yeah,
and Callum Taggart.
And Cal as well. Yeah,
both. Cal obviously played for FC Armagh in pre-season. Dean, a previous FC Armagh.
And interestingly, Paul Whitehead on the bench for St John's.
What an impact player that is.
Exactly, he's obviously former Peel striker, now playing at St John's. Them two subs, Liam Sale and Paul Whitehead, if you need a goal, Will Brown can look on the bench and see them two.
Yeah.
It's not too bad to come on and get a goal for you.
Yeah, yeah.
I can just manage, I have to say, I think Russian will edge it then, especially at Croyte Lowy. They'll get all 3 points. Do you think it's the most picturesque football ground they are? You know when the train goes
quite
past?
Quite Larry. See, I always like St John's because you've got Llewellyn in the background.
That's beautiful as well, but yeah. For some reason I love it. There was a picture I saw of the Russian women's team playing, and in the background the steam train was rolling through, and I just thought, if that doesn't sum up Manx football and everything that it stands for, what does?
Yeah, Brad Ahead is obviously nice in the background.
Oh, it's just
I would say that. Please do send in your...
And they say it's the best Guinness at any clubhouse, don't they?
Really?
That's the talk. Yeah. I'm not a Guinness drinker.
Russian used to always have a Belton pasty back in the day.
Do they?
Yeah.
You need to get pasty watch back, really. Don't we send us your pasty pictures in?
Well, I'd rather just send them pasty.
Just send pasty. Just a yard, please.
Yeah. Right, before we move on to Arden and Drugan Division 2, the best second tier in the world, Dave, you spoke to Matty Woods after their recent draw with their title contenders, Corinthians, Peel skipper, obviously. This obviously was, you spoke to Matty before Kian's sad passing, but he was talking more about the season as a whole, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. I mean, he was talking about their performance against Corinthians, which was good. They battled back from being goal down, so a lot of positives from that game. And I think there's just a general feeling of positivity going forward for the whole season. I think they're quite happy with how things are going.
Mm.
So we'll have a listen to that now.
Matty, thanks for taking the time to talk to us. Hard fought point that you did well to come back from a goal down against Corinthians. Are you pleased?
Yeah, I think, a point is okay. Based on the previous results we've had, we were really striving for a win here. And I think walking out, back into the changing rooms, we were upbeat because we got that goal back. But I think we'll look back and reflect, actually, we probably should have won the game. We had the majority of possession in the second half. I think we tried to play some really good football. And I really like Peter, the referee. I don't want to be too contentious, but there was a couple of moments in the game that I think were penalties. We've had a good debate at the end. He's reasonable, but I feel pretty hard done by with the point, and would would have liked the three, but that's football.
I think that also shows that you guys are reigning champions. It's that mentality.
Yeah.
I think if, you know, to go up against the form side of the Premier League, and I know it's only early doors, but to get a point and you're still disappointed with it, I think.
Yeah, 100%. And credit to like Corinthians, because they've got a great team this year. We knew it was going to be a tough game, and they've got a lot of height, you know, particularly with Sean and Luke going back to Corinthians, plus, you know, Stewie, you've got Burnsy there, some great aerial players. But I think we dealt with that really well, and we showed actually that we're probably, I think, a little bit better footballing team. Yeah.
So yeah, you touched on it before, but you played really well, particularly that first half. I thought you started on the front foot, and you didn't really let them settle for a while. And then obviously when they get the opening goal, they then have a few chances, and all of a sudden the momentum for them.
Yeah.
But then again, second half you regrouped and you went again, and you got the goal you deserved.
Yeah, I think their goal was a lapse in concentration. We should have got to the ball sooner, and you know, ball's come in, it's hit the crossbar, it's rebounded, it's gone in. It's one of those sloppy goals. You know, I think in previous years, what we weren't very good at is bouncing back from those difficult moments. But I thought today, yeah, they had a few, you know, opportunities after that. But at half-time, we sort of, you know, came together and regrouped, focused on what our goal is and how we want to play. We went back out there and executed it in the second half. Yeah,
and you know, you've got big players in your team. You know, yourself, you've got your Lee Gayles, you've got Thomas Brown, and in Brown you've got one of the most in-form players.
Yeah, no, he's brilliant. He can pull stuff out of the bag, and our goal was really well worked. A great ball from Lee across to Thomas, who finished it really well. And those two are going to work really well together for us this year. And also Jason Chalmers come in, and I think he's an excellent player. He's really raw. So he's a dark horse for me this year, Jason.
Yeah, very lively today.
Yeah, really good, really good.
So did you feel once that equaliser went in, you thought it's there for the taking?
Yeah, you know, you have that feeling. You think we're going to win now. This is our day. And they were arguing a bit with each other, and we tried to exploit that, and they were a little bit rattled. But at the end, they held on really well. So credit to them. Yeah,
I know you've already touched on it. You thought they probably should have been.
Yeah,
It was a big moment towards the end when.
And do you know what? I think it's great striker play is to get your body in and shield the ball, and that's experience from Azu. He's done it, you know, for so many years and got so many goals. But he drew the defender in, and you know, he's being clipped and he's gone down. But the referee sees different to the 300 people shouting penalty. But yeah, there you go.
I think what would have helped, obviously, is having lines with that.
Oh, 100%. And do you know what? I feel for Peter, because it's so tough out there. Particularly, you know, he's got every man and his dog shouting at him, and it's a tough job for referees. So full credit to them. You know, there's no game without them. There's no game without players. So we need everyone to pull together. But yeah, it's a shame that a Peel Corinthians game can't get. You know, linesman. It's a big, you know, it could be a deciding game for the league, that, right? So it'd be good to see that in the future, but I don't know what the situation looks like and whether that's doable.
Absolutely, yeah. They definitely need more numbers at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking at this result, so I know you're disappointed it's not a win, but you look back 12 months ago, I think Corinthians won 2-1 here, I think. I could be wrong.
Yeah,
And then you guys went on and won the title. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a positive.
We if you look at us in previous seasons, and you know, we've won the league twice in sort of recent years, we tend to start poorly, and that's happened again this season. And then, you know, as we get into autumn, we go on a run and we find our form. We've had a few people away, we've had a few people injured. Crennel got bloody sent off last week. But once we have all our numbers, we are a great team, and I do think we're the best team. But we need that commitment for everyone to come training twice a week and to go and deliver on a Saturday. You know, it can't come down to just a Thomas. Thomas doesn't get any goals if the players aren't there giving him the ball at the right time. So it's down to everyone to be committed this year, and that's my ask from all the lads, is to give it everything. Because I know now, getting a little bit older, not far from the end, enjoy every moment, and you're a long time retired. So,
well, just you know, a moment to talk about yourself here. I know just before we came on air, we had a chat, and congratulations are in order because you are now a new dad.
I am, yeah.
But only a couple of weeks old, so
yeah.
I mean, I think you said you only had a few hours of sleep.
Yeah.
To come out and play a high intensity game like that.
Yeah. It's great, and like, you know, the football I love, and I'll play as long as I can, but it's a new experience at home now, and. Mrs. is doing superbly with it, and she's feeding. So it's not it's not all my responsibility at night, but I can't help but wake up and, you know, get bothered by the crying and try and feel like I'm adding some assistance, which I'm not. But it's tough going out there with 5 hours kit, but yeah, it's well worth it. So yeah,
future Peel women's captain in the making, or?
Maybe, you never know. I won't push her into football, but yeah, whatever she wants to do, she can do. Yeah.
Cool. And then you know, we've looked at how the results were early start the season. It's a long way to go. It looks like it's going to be more than just two teams involved in this title race this season.
Yeah.
Laxey have started well. Russia have started really well. Well, how are you sort of feeling about that?
Yeah, do you know what? I think it's great because the league's in a really healthy position in that we've got, you know, four, five, six teams that can actually challenge, and anyone can beat anyone on any given day. And we've not had that, you know, when people talk about football 10, 15 years ago, but actually there's only two or three teams that are really dominating. And now anyone can win. And I think that's a good thing. And maybe FC Alaman, that's a good thing that it's brought. And I wouldn't say FC Alaman has the best 11 players at the league every week. So actually the league's really competitive, so I think, yeah, local football, although there's sometimes a bit of sort of glass, you know, half empty type mentality, I actually think looking at the first division, we're in a really healthy spot. I know it's more challenging in the leagues below, but yeah, I think people should be more positive about it. And if you're positive and you know, positive energy, things get better. So let's not be negative about things. And let's, you know, like I always think, anyone listens to this or watches, like I've been on Peel committee for five, six seasons until I've just had the baby. I've stepped down, but like give back to your club. And if everyone does a little bit, then clubs will survive and more people will take part. It's as simple as that. Don't just take from that club.
Yeah.
Give back.
Absolutely. Yeah. And speaking of positivity, we're obviously going into this season off the back of good performances from the Alaman FA sides in Orkney, and you were a big part of that with the men's team. How was the whole experience?
Unbelievable. Absolutely loved it. Loved working with Bassey and Rick Holden, who's back to his old self. He's top form. I loved it, and the players were fantastic. Again, we felt a bit hard done by coming home with the bronze. But we played one extra game than every other team in the tournament, and that's what I think cost us. It's really difficult playing, you know, five games in 4 days. Everyone else played four games. No, hang on, is that right? Five games? Yeah, we played in 4 days. Everyone else was four games in 5 days. Yeah, so it was really tough. But there's loads of things to work on, and we'll see what happens in the future on that. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, thanks very much for your time there, Matty. Brilliant.
Thank
stuff.
You. Cheers,
good
Dave.
Luck for the rest of the season.
Thanks.
Right, there is four games in Arden and Drugan Division 2 this weekend to look at, chaps. Tom has got that excited he's had to take his fleece off. And I understand why, because there's a big game in the south, isn't there? Maloo
really
versus Colby.
And we really could have done with them. You know, sometimes I look around the office and just think, all we need is a southern football expert.
Yeah.
It's annoying that we can't find one. There's not one there.
Well, the one we had is seemingly in semi-retirement.
Yeah,
so.
Mr. Island Life over there.
Claims he doesn't know anything about Max football
exactly.
At all.
Adam Morton, still got his playing shirt in the background, number 8, just doesn't want to come into the podcast.
He doesn't, no. He's busy at work downstairs while we're talking about Max football.
Yeah.
He's probably in Harding ahead of this weekend's game. It's going to be tasty.
It's a big one, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, so let's say Colby, though. Yeah. Big result last weekend, Tom.
Yeah, I did think we recorded a podcast 2 weeks in a row and Moran got beat twice comfortably. I thought, why? Why does this have to happen? But yeah, I can't say much about the game. I wasn't there. I was away. But a result that probably I think no one really expected. I'm not just saying that from a Moran perspective.
We also have been nipping talk
exactly.
4 goals, 5-1 to Colby.
And now that throws Colby right in the talk of promotion, doesn't it?
Well, the top two, Castell and Colby, both undefeated. Castell with a perfect record, 5-5. Colby have got 4 wins and 2 draws from their 6. They've got building a bit of a cushion, Dave. I know Pulley have got games in hand, Moran have got games in hand, but it's 5 points the difference at the moment.
That's massive already. I mean, we talked about it before about momentum, and that's huge. And we talked about Laxey, you know, they might start be thinking about going for a title push or whatever. Colby will be doing exactly the same now.
I do think, though, it's a slightly different in Division 2 because everyone plays each other 3 times.
Yeah.
I think, like, in Div 1, because you're playing each other twice, and you managed to scrape a result against them two teams twice, you don't have to worry about them playing again. I think this, with a 10-team league, I think what's the same around won't beat Colby 5-1 the next time.
Yeah.
opponents Maloo, who host Saturday's fixture, they missed the double check that. Yeah, they're a home team on Saturday. Dave, first defeat of the season last week against Douglas Royal. Royal were tipped heavily. They've lost a couple of players already. So they're maybe a bit disappointed with that result, Dave.
Yeah, they will be. Particularly coming off the back of a big win the week before against D&D. I think as well, their standout result of the season so far has been that win over Youthy on the opening day. And, you know, that's almost a statement result, that early in the season. But yeah, I think as you say, going down 4-1 to Royal, that'll sting. So they'll be keen to bounce back.
Paul Whitley, Michael Pardew. Well, this is the other thing. But Whitley and Jay Gandy will be playing against the old clubs. Add a little bit of tastiness to this fixture.
Is Adam going down, or are we not sure?
He said he might go down, which is, who knows what that means. But anyway,
support from Adam as always.
I think this will be a really good game if it goes ahead. I think Colby will just edge it, but I feel it's got all the hallmarks of a classic derby tie.
I'd say the same. Colby just, but it'll be really tight, and I think there'll be a lot of goals.
I think if Adam does go down, he'll be banished from the ground. I think he'll go a little bit crazy on the touchline.
We'll have to get his take his top down.
Yeah,
we'll full Colby colours, shorts and shin pads on.
Dave, you...
Yeah, no, I think close might be a red card in this one, but I think Colby will just edge it.
I like the call for a red card.
Current league leaders, Cast Iron, take on relegated St George's at the stadium this weekend.
Now, did anyone have Castletown?
No.
As this out and out.
Just went under the radar.
Absolutely five. But I think, in a way, I just look at these results. They've scored five, at least five, in every game.
That no one had this coming. That shock result completely. That's when I think people started to maybe take Castletown a bit more seriously. A 10-1 win against a Royals team that I pipped to go up, like with the players they signed. I know they lost a few in the end, and maybe some players have gone back to their former clubs. But 10-1, the fact they've not had a game where they've not scored five.
This is why it's Europe's best league.
Exactly. Yeah. That front three, four, whatever it is at Castletown must be absolutely ecstatic.
Well, Alex Crawley seems to be having a bit of an Indian summer. He's scoring for fun. Let's see, if we've got player totals here. I'll see if I can find out how many. Pad for me, Dave. Will I find out how many goals Alex Crawley scored this year?
Well, now, do we think that Castletown can stay the course then? That's such a good start.
Yeah.
Do we think that that's them for the season? They can be there or thereabouts?
I can't see why not. I can't see why not.
Alex Crawley's got 11 and 5. That's a good start.
You do not want to, you're a defender for St George's. You do not want to be coming up against an Alex Crawley this weekend, do you?
No, and St George's themselves are
struggling.
They played three, lost three.
Well, in fairness, played three, maybe that's a bit of an unfair, but the fact that the losses are the concerning parts, aren't they?
Yeah, even Moran
have beaten. Bloody hell. But you would never, that's...
It is a tough start to life back in Div 2. You know, you got Royally with heavily tipped. Moran, obviously, were relegated with them, and Pulley, who also tipped in that promotion mix. So it's not been the easiest start.
No, they'll be fine, Geordies. Their league position now will not reflect where they'll finish at the end of the season.
It's just transitional, isn't it?
What frustrates me with St George is they're terrible at updating who's played for...
Full-time, right? This season.
Yeah.
So it's slap on
There's
the wrist
names there, isn't there, that we recognise?
Pecker.
Tyler Deitcher in the fold there. He's a former Oncom player.
Yeah, Kieran McNulty. It's very much a different St George's, isn't it?
Even to last
season.
It's not the St George's of old, is it? There's not even you know them names where you just look at St George's and they're just synonymous with the club.
Yeah.
There's not many of them anymore in there, is there? Apart from Pecker, you'd say.
Yeah.
So
Chris Kelly, if it's the former goalkeeper.
So it's a transitional period for St George's, a club that's obviously been so successful. And the massive clubs like this on the island often have these blips.
Yeah.
Like we see Jim's State now. Jim's are a huge football club on the Isle of Man.
Yeah.
And they're going through, I'd say, quite a long, rough patch. But
I don't know if you saw the comments on our YouTube for the last podcast. We were getting a bit of heat for apparently abusing Jim's regularly.
Well, us? Is that a moment?
I feel like we corrected that last time. But obviously... Dave will touch on them in Comedy Corner, but they're flying at the moment.
Yeah, and a full respect to Jim's as well for keeping the club alive. And another pitch I quite like playing at, Trimode.
Really?
I quite enjoy that, which is weird because not everyone does.
And they move it around all the time.
I know, they do. And also, did you know that they were the first club in the Manx football to have floodlights?
Oh, really?
And the ones that are just lying on the ground aren't used, obviously. But that's a stat I heard recently.
Pop quiz.
Don't have a go at me if it's not true.
Yeah.
But I'm fairly sure that's accurate. And Yeah, I don't know how we got to the gym as well, mate.
Yeah, where have we gone? It's just the way this podcast often goes. So I think we're all oats this weekend. Just going back to that fixture, cast iron win.
A comfortable cast iron win.
Now, one of the other teams aside from St George's, on 0 points so far from six games is Douglaston District. Obviously, we talked to the boys earlier in the podcast about their proposed return to it's going to happen. Their return to Nobles Park, Dave. 6 from 6, minus 29 goal difference. They take on Gubbs, who only a point better off. Could this be the weekend?
Could be. Yeah, absolutely could be. We should caveat it that they are looking for players. We alluded to it before that the club are desperate for numbers, really. It's been a tough start to the season. There's no sugarcoating it. But we always say this with D&D, they've always got a result in them.
Yeah.
And this will be the one. They'll have targeted this the last couple of weeks, and they'll look at this and think, yeah, we can definitely hit the ground running now.
Gubbs have had a bit of a tough time, haven't they?
Yeah, but Gubbs, I was going to say, a new spot on the Manx football map, because they've got the move from back up to Bemmer Hay, but not on the Bemmer Bowl.
Which was pretty cool to play on, to be fair. It was weird.
You're joking,
I did enjoy it. I'm just thinking that was a cool away day that was.
Yeah.
Until
the ball bounced too.
Yeah.
They're on the grass now at Bemmer Hague, which I can't believe has not been considered earlier.
No, I think they've had to obviously chat with the Department of Education, the school and stuff. But I think that'll be a nice little ground, and I think one we should maybe one day do a bit of an away day.
That sounds absolutely good. Yeah. If there's a new place to play football on the Isle of Man, we've got to go explore it, don't we?
So that's Bemmer Hague for that game, Governance Athletic versus D&D. Now, Dave,
slightly earlier kickoff.
Yeah, 2 o'clock for that one, well reminded. Gov's point came against Malou, which is a decent point.
Yeah.
They've been in games, so they've obviously lost 3-1 to Youth, 5-3 to Colby, and 5-1 to League Leaders Castletown. Will they be favourites for this one, just because of the amount of goals they've scored this season?
I think both of them will be looking at it going, this is the game we want to win.
Yeah.
So it's really difficult. When two teams who are desperate to beat each other because they know that that's the one game they can probably get a result, it makes it for a really good show, and so I can see a draw.
I'm with you on that draw.
Go for it. The David Norton Memorial fans, so go for it.
Final game in Div 2 on Saturday afternoon sees Ramsey Youth Centre take on Douglas Royal. Now, Youthy are currently sat in 4th and Douglas Royal in 6th, both on 7 points. Youthy slightly above them on goal difference. Now, this one, I feel, has Dave Norton draw all over it as well. But Royal seem to have bounced back from that 10-1 defeat against Castletown on the 6th of September. They've since got a draw at Colby and beaten Malou.
And a draw at Colby, as we know now, is quite a good one.
Yeah, and they're starting to score a bit freely again. Sam Greasley's the man, isn't he? Bailey Ashton are the two names. And then Simon Dooley, he stalwart of the Douglas Royal, the amount of goals he must have scored for that club. They've got goal scorers there. It may be just at the back that they need to tighten up.
Yeah.
Opponents, Youthy, Dave. Now, they're, as I say, similar record. Good win over D&D last time, 3-1 win over Govs the week before that, and then a loss to Malou and a draw with Colby on the opening day, which, again, that now looks like a good result, doesn't it?
It does. Is it unfair to call Roy Cobb like the nearly men for a few
years
now?
They seem to always be bumbling under, like sort of 5th, 4th place in that division.
Yeah.
There was a time not that long ago where I think they missed out on promotion on goal difference.
Yeah, and then last year they were really close again. And if I didn't have the league table in front of me and someone said, where are I coming in the league, I'd have guessed 4th.
Yes.
And they're 4th.
Yeah. But they are, they got 2 games in hand on the top 2.
Yeah.
But they got 7 points behind.
What's to say that Rijkaard might do something this season, especially with everyone playing each other 3 times? And that's another away ground not easy to go to.
Well, I think if we actually... The top 7,
you've included Moran.
Including Moran, 7th place Moran in that,
yeah,
are all capable of taking points off each other.
Yeah.
Even potentially
Geordies
and
Good.
Well, they're all capable of that's football. But there is there seems to be a bit of a gap forming between the bottom 3 and the rest.
That's why the debate around whether there was going to be 10, everyone playing each other 3 times, or perhaps they were going to think about a cup for the bottom 4 or something. Yeah. That was getting talked about. And look, based on the league,
the bottom 5, I do.
Exactly. That's bottom 5, and in the top 5 point. Yeah.
Moran might have got some silver.
Probably not. Probably still would have lost. But that was talked about, and that was a really interesting proposal and something. I thought it was a good idea.
Yeah, I think that's a nice idea.
Yeah, rather than everyone play each other three times, which we know, I know Mepi said he's going to, like, he believes he can get them all in, but we might be playing until June.
Yeah.
The TT might come around.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a tough old season.
I'd love to know the process, and maybe this is where we can lean into your knowledge and perhaps talk to Helen about it. How that third game is slotted in.
Yeah, it's difficult.
How do the clubs decide
who plays the home game?
Yeah, or not even that, but who, when that they've got, well, we've not got enough players for that weekend, or sorry, it was down to 3 weeks, so
yeah,
X, Y, and Z are away.
Exactly, it's not easy, is it?
D&D have already played Castan twice.
Yeah,
lost both games 5-0 at home.
Yeah, which,
you know, consistency is brilliant, but I've not seen many of the other third game, shall we call them, slotting in.
Yeah, exactly. Like, for example, Murano free this week, but there's not a team to play that's available to play. So they might. It's going to be such a logistical nightmare for them. But what I don't want to see is people coming out of the woodwork at clubs suggesting that this is not going to work and stuff. Mepi's put something in place that he's tried his best to get to work, and the clubs vote for it. Because there can be no debate when the clubs have all said yes to it.
Yeah.
Or I don't know the exact vote, obviously, but it was basically the vote club. Enough clubs said yes.
And in theory, anyway, when you get to into the new year, when the cup competitions start, they'll start to have a couple of weekends there.
Because that's another concern. Gold Cup, where does that squeeze in? You know, it's going to be not easy, is it, to get all these games in Div 2 in? And to play 27 games in a season is a lot. Isn't it? It's a hell of a lot. And if you want a free week to go and spend time shopping with the missus, it's not going to happen, is it? So.
Right, results in that one, chaps. What are we going for? I'm going for a draw.
I'm going to go for a Rycob win.
Yeah, I think I'll go for a draw as well. I mean,
no, not you, Dave.
Now that you've come up with a graphic, I'm going to have to go back to all these draws.
Yeah. Right, my second favourite bit of the podcast, Comedy Corner.
Thanks, mate. So Ramsey continued their flying start to the Canada Life Combination 1 season with an emphatic 8-1 victory over St Mary's at Ballyclone, led by Ryan Kelly hat-trick. There was also a goal fest at Ball Fletcher, where Laxia edged past Corinthians by the odd goal in 11, the Miners winning 6-5, typical Manx football score.
Yeah.
But there were even more goals at Gary Moore, where Old Boys hit double figures in a 10-3 victory over Union Mills, while Pedro Cardoso's hat-trick helped fire St John's to an 8-2 win at United. And there was a big result at Croydon Larry, where Rushen got the better of reigning champions Ogden 4-0. In Ardman Juggen Combination 2, Paul Rose are now 5 wins from 5 and sit top, but their latest victory came via a walkover against St George's, who couldn't field the team. Douglas Athletic are their nearest challengers after thumping Castletown 8-2 at the stadium, thanks largely to a Will Penhullerick hat-trick. Not bad, considering he was spotted out and about fairly drunk on Friday night. Douglas Royal and Youthy both hit double figures as they recorded 12-2 and 11-1 wins over Maloon and D&D respectively. There was a close contest at the Station Fields where the Morton Curfew derby ended in Tom's favour, Moran winning 4-3 at Colby.
Yeah.
Indeed, the reports of Tom's celebrations getting out of hand in Liverpool and Hall & Oates being on repeat at Concert Square.
I can confirm that's true, and we didn't know the result yet.
And speaking of Adam Morton, the other game in Combi 2 saw Jims continue their fine start to the season with a comprehensive 8-3 victory at home to Michael United.
Jims are doing well, aren't they, in the Combi? I like it.
Up to fourth, 3 wins from 6, yeah.
Yeah.
It's good to see. Hopefully they can build and get a first team back.
The only concern I have is that the fact that the top four consist of two teams that only have combinations, that's the only slight gripe I have with it. It's like, I understand that clubs have got to try their best to get back in, but I don't think you want to see a team that's just got a Combi in the league.
Yeah.
I don't think you do. I think I don't know. That'll be another rant for another day.
Right, we've thought about it, we've alluded to it. You know, this is possibly the most important day of Reads the Weather of the season.
So far. So no doubt most people are already aware, but Storm Amy is set to hit the island on Friday, bringing with it severe gale force winds, plus the possibility of some localised flooding. It'll be slightly brighter on Saturday, but still very windy with a risk of travel disruption, so it's anyone's guess how many games will actually go ahead.
It's got Sophia Platt on Saturday, isn't it?
And I just coughed in between. I'm annoyed at myself. I feel like I'm the Dave Norton of the podcast now.
The irony wasn't lost. right, that's it for this week's podcast. Before we go, Dave, Sean Jackson won the English Amputee League on the weekend with Everton.
Fantastic.
Up the toffees.
Well,
I think Q should get in the first team, Sean, at this rate.
Falling around Sean Jackson.
Yes, and Laxey in St George's, nonetheless.
Yeah,
he actually plays, he was a goalkeeper, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah, now he plays in defence for the toffees. He played for, he's been capped by England before, playing for them in the latest Nations League campaign in Turkey against Italy and Poland. I think they finished third in that group. But yeah, that means that the Toffees retain the title and are now in the Champions League next year.
Fantastic stuff.
So it's brilliant for Sean, brilliant advertisement for Amputee Football. We've been trying to speak to Sean.
I'm sure we can do our best. And it's, you know what, regardless of Sean's achievements, they're fantastic. I think his biggest honour is making it on the Shore Sky advert. Have you seen him?
No.
He's on sometimes on Sky Sports when I'm watching, sat at home at 4:30, about to put on the Sky Sports, right before, look out for the Shore advert where they're spraying and they're showing up the shore. Sean Jackson is in that advert.
Yeah. No.
No. If we can drop it in, we will.
It's been around for about a year.
It has, yeah, it's been a
while. Why has no one told you?
I thought you'd know.
That would be absolute prime podcast fodder.
It would be. We should, if we can drop it in, we should. I'm not sure if we can just nick
Sean. Who else would you have Manx footballers in a Shore advert? Oh, that suggests they smell, though.
Oh, no, the ref. What's his name?
What? Where are you going with this one?
Yeah. I was going to go Peter Lewis. I think he'd be amazing as a ref. Blowing a whistle and pointing him in a decision. I think it's got to be comedy rather than actual entertainment.
Right. I feel like we're going to have a watch-along for the Shore... I thought you were talking about Shore Mobile. So it's Shore Deodorant.
Shore Deodorant. Sean's in the advert before.
Is that the one with, like, Raheem Sterling and stuff?
Yeah. Well, that's Gillette, that you're throwing out. Other shape.
I think it is Shore. I don't want to say I'm wrong. But
no, it's definitely Shore.
Yeah, because I've seen him before and I'm sat at home and I'm thinking... I played with him and I'm sat at home in my dressing gown and he's on a Shore advert.
Well, it just makes you think about your life, doesn't it? Yeah.
It does.
But anyway, right, well, we might insert a clip, depending on copyright laws, about that, of Sean in the shower.
No, he's not.
I don't think he's in the shower, no.
Thank God for that, but... Well, we've got to get him on now to ask about that and nothing else.
Not talk about the amputee.
Just talk about his Shore advert. Right, until next time.
Ta-ta for now.